From Harris Studios, this is Accounting for Tomorrow, an accounting and advisory services podcast for community leaders with a passion for change. We're ready to look past the numbers and ensure that today's planning efforts create success for tomorrow. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Josh Tyree, and I'm here with Todd Ames, a partner out of our Twin Falls office. And I'm excited about the topic today. This time of year, everyone is busy gathering their information, getting ready to prepare their taxes. A lot of things flying around. Our opportunity a lot of times to interact with our clients and get to see how they were doing over the past year. So before we get going, Todd, why don't you just give us a little background on yourself and your experience?
Absolutely. Thanks, Josh. Great to be here. It's an exciting time of year, as you know, and looking back over my career, I started practicing accounting in the late 90s, and so it's been quite a while. And I started my career in St. Louis with Ernst & Young and later moved back to Idaho, where I grew up, and joined with partners in Twin Falls and have had a great career and great opportunity. And we're so excited to be part of Harris and part of the great company that we are.
Awesome. So this whole podcast is kind of based around what people should be thinking about right now, how they should be preparing, planning for their taxes, you know, for next year. And we've got clients that have other due dates or other deadlines, right? Banking deadlines or government deadlines or other pieces that drive when they get their stuff done. But for a lot of our businesses, right, it's the tax deadlines or dates that really kind of drives some of the timing around when they do this stuff. And so really quick, we've got a lot of dates out there, March 15th, April 15th, then you have the fall deadlines. Maybe just give us a little overview of what these dates are and when people should worry about them and what they should be thinking about.
Yeah, you bet. So I think one of the things that I want to point out is one of our jobs as CPAs and advisors is to help people to relax and to have peace of mind. And deadlines sometimes bring a little fear into people. And if we can help reduce that fear, that would be great. Understanding that a deadline in the IRS's eyes is a filing requirement. And there's also a payment requirement. And so if we can separate those two, it'll help us have a little bit more peace of mind. We have the first deadline that is coming up very quickly is a farm deadline, which is very little known. And that's March 1st. If a farm operation files and pays their taxes by March 1st, they didn't have to make any payments during the year, and they're totally fine. The next deadline is March 15th, which is a deadline for what we refer to as pass-through entities, S-corporations, partnerships, and that is a deadline, mostly just a filing deadline, because those types of entities don't pay tax. And the next deadline is April 15th, which is the one that strikes fear in most people's hearts. Right. And April 15th is a deadline on both fronts, filing deadline and a payment deadline. Individual returns, 1040s, are due April 15th. But most importantly, practically every payment to the IRS is due by April 15th in order to avoid penalties for underpayment or late payment, as well as interest. And so we focus a lot on April 15th, but it's mostly because of the payment due date.
Right.
All of these deadlines, except for the farm deadline, can be extended for the filing requirement, which actually is great because if you think about it, there's no way that the millions of people in the United States can meet an April 15th or a March 15th deadline, whichever you're looking at. And so the extension of time to file going until September for businesses and October for individuals is great. It gives us all kinds of time to do everything we can to implement strategy, to help, and to make sure that everything we do for our clients and that our clients are working on comes together according to plan.
So we'll dive into that a little bit more here as we go along. But what I'm hearing you say is that really, you know, there's the filing requirement for March and April can be extended.
Correct.
We need to kind of reconcile how much we need to pay, and we need to make sure we pay by April 15th. But we have time to kind of prepare all the documents and get everything going. And really, the deadlines are in September and October, where that final filing needs to be made.
Exactly.
So as we go through this and people are busy trying to gather their documents and rush around to get them all, maybe talk about the idea of extending your return, having more time to prepare your documents. Why would that be important for a lot of our tax preparers?
That can be important for many reasons. Some of them is just convenience. We all have different things going on in our lives, and it may just be difficult to gather all the information to meet a March or April filing deadline. But what we see most often is that because of the variety of timing when other businesses are filing their tax returns, or when a brokerage statement is available, a 1099, or some of those types of things, it may push you beyond a deadline. If you have an investment in a business and they don't send you the information until June, you're forced to extend and you have no choice in that matter because you don't know the answer. And so if you're trying to decide whether to extend, one of the big reasons is whether you have all the information. And so that can relieve a lot of pressure and stress if you can extend the time to file those returns.
So relieving the pressure, filing those returns, getting all the information, right? Those K-1s is what they usually are issuing from those returns going into yours. And even if you're getting them right after the March 15th date, there's still a little bit of a time crunch between that and April 15th. And extending that extends that time. What kind of things would that allow you to do as your client CPA if you had additional time during the summer? What are the things that you're able to put into their work or their tax return that they get benefit out of that extension?
There's a few things that come to mind. The most prevalent one is that you may not know or have enough information to make decisions until you receive those pieces of documentation. Let's say you receive it, like you said, shortly after March 15th, and you have just a few short weeks to get your tax return filed. But those K-1s may bring new information that you didn't know. As an example, if you have your own business, and you have some flexibility in deductions that you want to take for, in this case, 2023, you may want to wait until you receive the rest of the information that will impact your return. And then you can coordinate the information among the activities so that the best result for you actually comes together on your personal tax return. Maybe a K-1 that you receive will have more income than you expected. And so then you're left with the decision, now what do I do in my business? Or is there something I can do in my business to help offset some of that income? Or it could be the reverse. Maybe you receive a K-1 and it unexpectedly has a loss, in which case you may want to postpone some deductions in your own business. And whether it's a business activity or an investment activity, you know, it may impact that. But those are some examples of how it could really benefit you by waiting. And if by taking that extra time, you can put those pieces together, not in a rushed fashion or a haphazard fashion, but in a way that will truly help maximize your tax savings.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, maximizing the tax savings. I also think by extending, you can extract maybe even more value through your CPA by sitting down with them and talking just about your business. And you can probably extract that value anytime during the year, but a lot of times that's happening at the same time you're getting your taxes done. And when you're going through it in this time of year, right, there's a high volume of work going through CPA firms. They have less time to spend really looking at those kind of things, which they really want to do. It's just as the nature of the volume coming through. And if you extend your return, that's another aspect or a benefit you get is maybe a little bit more time, a little bit more thought put into not just the tax return, but the overall business or the overall company or the overall individual, the future planning piece of it.
I agree with that, Josh. I think not that we don't provide quality service during the busiest time, but you will have a little more flexibility. You'll have a little bit more undivided attention where you can spend time with your accountant and really not just look back, but look forward in an advisory capacity, whether that's planning for the year that we're working on, whether it's planning for the new year, or correlating the two together. When you're under pressure to complete a tax return, you're focusing on the tax return.
Right.
But when you can sit back in a consultative capacity, your perspective broadens and you're able to take in a lot more information and consider more opportunities for helping better the situation.
Yeah, that's perfect. So when we're coming up to extend, I'm going to have you extend my return, Todd, but maybe I run my own business or I have my company, and a lot of questions, you probably get this asked all the time, is what's the timing as it relates to my retirement contribution, right? I mean, I know there's probably a ton of different answers to this, but maybe just give us some guidelines of an overview with the caveat they need to talk to their CPA, because there's different deadlines, right? And there's different things. I always get confused by it every year.
There are different deadlines, and it will depend a little bit whether you are truly self-employed or whether you are a business owner and have other employees. What we're talking about with the retirement contribution might be an individual IRA contribution. Those don't have to be made until April 15th of the following year. So that would be an opportunity for someone who, if they need a little extra deduction, they might wait and see how things turn out and then decide, yes, I want to make an individual IRA contribution, or no, I don't need to. From a business owner standpoint, there's even more opportunity because the payment deadline for a business contribution to a retirement plan is the filing date of the return, including extensions. So if you extend beyond March 15th, then you have technically until as late as September 15th to decide what amount, if any, contribution you want to make to the company retirement plan for your employees, which, depending on the size of your workforce, could be very significant. If it's a large workforce and you're trying to decide if you want to make a profit sharing contribution, maybe you want to make it, but in January, maybe you're in a business where your cash flow is a little tighter, but come June, you're very busy and you have a lot of cash flow. Now's a perfect time. You can make the contribution and take the deduction for last year.
Perfect. Perfect. So gives you some cash flow timing. It also gives you more time to kind of just discern what level or what amount you might want to put in, right?
Exactly.
As you kind of work
exactly.
through it.
We often say that hindsight's 20/20. And in some ways, this is an unusual gift from the IRS that we have the ability in some capacity to have perfect hindsight and make decisions almost 9 months later to make a better decision.
Something kind of off that too, as a taxpayer, especially, there are a lot of credits or incentives like a R&D or a cost seg or different tax strategies that you can implement, but they take time to do it right. You have to usually hire an expert or some professional to go through it. So maybe thinking about some of these examples, give us an example or why that would impact the overall tax extension and timing.
Sure. I think a great example would be a cost segregation study. A lot of times, maybe you haven't had the opportunity to fully talk about a new investment that you have or an acquisition of a new property with your accountant. And so you get to the time to file your taxes, or it's early January, and your accountant will let you know, hey, did you know about a cost segregation study? And at that point, it's a little late to expect to have the results from a cost segregation study within a few weeks. Those studies take some time to do. And so by extending, it's not too late to get the benefit, but it will take probably into summer or even fall to get that study completed. And in this case, a cost segregation study where you can accelerate the deductions for a commercial property or a rental property, you could save substantial taxes by accelerating those deductions, which typically have to be spread over 27 and a half years or 39 years. About half of the cost of the building could probably be written off in 15 years or 7 years, depending on how the results of the study come out.
That's a perfect example of just taking the time to do it right and the benefits, right? Because even in a 7 or a 15 year life on your cost seg study example, some of those assets can actually even be accelerated and taken in year one.
And which then gives, it's all correct.
Right. So it's a huge benefit. I know last year we had a similar podcast this time of year, just because it's top of mind of our listeners. And one of the issues that came out was really related to the R&D credit. And that's a credit on one side, but there was also that little clause that came in last year where you had to capitalize all those related expenses and then take them over several years. And we were extending a lot of returns, hoping that it would get fixed or overturned, because everyone agrees it wasn't exactly the tax policy to be in there, but it didn't. So we ended up filing a lot of returns. But I've been hearing that there's something going on that might address that this year. I don't know if you can talk to that.
Yes. It's interesting you bring that up, Josh, because that same topic that was a hot topic a year ago has become a hot topic again this year. And the interesting thing that we've seen happen in Congress over the last few years is they sometimes will enact laws after the end of a tax year that retroactively affect the current tax year that we're working on. And we thought that the R&D credit was put to rest last year. Well, new legislation was introduced recently and passed by part of Congress and is waiting to be deliberated by the rest of Congress as to whether those rules that we thought were finalized will change and could potentially still be retroactive into 2023.
Right. And we've seen, even on our client base and small businesses, that's a significant amount. If your business is doing research and development, those costs add up. When we saw it last year, they add up pretty quickly. And so that's a pretty material or significant tax impact. And it's always hard to say, like, well, let's file now, but then we have to amend. Well, if this change goes through, you'll be amending to get refunds. What kind of risk does that put in your return now? How long are you going to wait? You know, and I just think extending that time to see if they do anything or if it gets gridlocked, kind of like it did last year, to wait for that and just putting it on the initial return, not an amended return, is probably not a bad idea for some taxpayers.
I suppose each individual situation could require them to file and take a chance. Right. But if you have the freedom and the ability to wait, it's always better to make a better decision the first time.
Right.
And not that amended returns are always audited, but they do have a little higher probability that they could be audited.
Right. And it's more costly.
And,
right?
Hey, you know, it's job security
for us, yeah,
for CPAs, right? But for our clients, it's not the best option.
Right.
Because
exactly.
They're going to pay to do a return twice that we could have just waited and just done it once.
Right. And I think going back to our original comment of April 15th is just kind of, I heard someone call this a year ago a tax reconciliation day. Like, we just need to make sure we've paid our tax. If you're a company and you have issues like this out, if you have studies still going on, if you have profit sharing, or you have all these things that you still need to take time to decide, you have time to do that. You have to pay your tax by April 15th, wherever it flows, or March 15th, but you have time to make all these decisions through the summer and then file a final return at the end that's the most accurate it can possibly be.
Exactly. Exactly.
So one thing that's changed probably in the last year, at least we've seen it change, is the interest rate that the IRS charges. And I don't know how many clients I've had for the last 6-7 years forever seem to say, like, well, I can make more off my money working it than giving it to the IRS early, making estimated payments and all of those requirements. So they never made them. Well, the interest rate the IRS is charging over the last year has dramatically changed.
Dramatically.
Dramatically.
Yes.
So from talking about a couple percent to north of
7%.
7%.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden now you start talking to people that way and they need to know that it's not free anymore, or that I guess it never was free, but that attitude of it's not free, like it's 7% or north of 7% is, you know, that's a pretty high bar to pass. So maybe talk about how that's going to impact this coming April 15th, the extension timeframe. What do companies need to think about? They think about the interest rates and how they used to do it, maybe how they go forward.
I think that it's always important to keep in mind that cash flow and cost of doing business are important principles to keep in mind. In 1 year, you may make a decision to make or not make estimates because of cash flow. If you don't have the money, you have to go borrow the money. And so you may borrow it from the IRS or from the government, or you may borrow it from a bank. And so that might become a finance decision of where do I have a better loan rate. But if you have the money, then you do have to ask yourself that question. Where else am I going to put my money? You may think you're going to put your money in something that will earn more than 7 or 8%. But I think we have to ask ourselves, what's the reality? Is it going to sit in checking? Is it going to be in a money market and earn 1 or 2%? Those are just decisions we have to make, we have to look at and analyze. But in the end, for 2023, it started at 7%, it ended at 8%. In 2024, we're moving forward with 8% rates from the IRS. So if you choose not to make estimates, you will be assessed 8% on every quarterly payment that they think you should have made based on the previous year. If that is not acceptable, then you definitely want to make your estimated payments to avoid the amount of interest that the IRS will charge you. And the other thing to keep in mind is not only do they charge interest, but if you're underpaid, they can assess underpayment penalties in addition to interest. And like we've been talking about, you do have to pay your tax by April 15th. If you go past that, then you'll have late filing penalties. And the change in interest rates, whether directly or indirectly, affects penalties and interest.
Right. Like there's people out there that love refunds. There's people that love to not pay. And I think the old CPA thing is we want it to just be right on the penny.
Break even.
So I do think from a cash flow perspective, people who are going to switch from maybe they historically had not paid estimates and now they want to pay estimates, they need to keep from a cash flow perspective in their mind that they're going to have that payment from last year due April 15th and their first quarter estimate due for 2024. And it all happens on the same day.
That's the caveat right there.
So there needs to be a little bit of planning there from a cash flow perspective or a little bit of planning with your tax partner to talk about, well, how can we space this out? How can we make this work for a cash perspective and, you know, and a business perspective and not incur as much interest or reduce it as much as we can?
Absolutely. Forethought and planning ahead will go a long way in that respect.
So as we're coming up to the deadline here, I think there's one other topic out there that we see a lot of. We've emailed out our clients about it. A lot of people have been hearing about that Corporate Transparency Act. Not really your tax return. Not at all.
It's not even about tax.
Not even about tax. But it kind of got wrapped in with the tax preparers and CPAs or lawyers or legal entities. So I know it came out and everyone has requirements, especially if you're a small business, you're probably going to have to comply with it as you go forward. I just wanted to tell our listeners that to know that we've partnered with a third party and we have a solution. If you set up an entity prior to 1/1/24, you have all year to comply. So once we get through the April 15th reconciliation deadline and we work through that, we have a third party that will help our clients comply with that deadline. But if you ran out and set up an LLC January 15th.
During 2024,
right? It's due.
Then you have 90 days.
90 days.
So it's a short 3 months that you need to comply.
So if you're listening and instead of waiting, you should reach out to us and we can connect you with that third party that we've partnered with and vetted and make sure that they can help you comply. If not, we'll be able to help you when it comes this summer and take care of that and help you comply with the Corporate Transparency Act, which a lot of our people are getting questions about, you know, is constantly. So yeah.
It's a hot topic right now. And I think the part that's frightening is it's administered by the organization or the department of the government we refer to as FinCEN, which surprisingly stands for Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. And so this isn't about taxes, but it's about protecting businesses and small businesses. So the penalties are very stiff. And so it is something we don't want to take lightly, but we just want to make sure that the time frames are very clear so our clients and friends understand when to comply and how to comply.
Right. Exactly. So I guess as we kind of wrap up here, Todd, I know we've got reminders that are for our clients and our listeners that you need to file extensions and do that. But what else should they just be thinking about towards the tax deadlines that are coming up here and as they move forward with all their tax preparation?
Well, in addition to the deadlines, I think taking a reflective position and looking back over your year, whether you are a business owner or not, and looking at all the activities that you were involved in, asking yourself questions about did this have a business purpose? And making note of those so that you can talk to your accountant, you can talk to your advisor. And if you are apt and prone to extend, those will be great discussions for summertime, right? Where you can go over those questions in a more relaxed time and have the benefit of hindsight. So taking note now of things that you may have questions about and make sure you get those questions to your advisor would be very important. And I think another thing that we could do is, you know, we tend to look back in a compliance process as tax returns are. We are looking backwards. Don't forget to take some time and look forward. Learn from last year. Look at what happened and take the time to sit down and consult and plan and look forward into the new year. And what would you like to do differently? Would you like the outcome to be different and start strategizing now about how to make changes and what to change coming forward?
I think that's great because I'm not going to say anyone enjoys tax time outside of us, but no, none of our clients, it's not probably their favorite part of the year, but the more proactive they are and the more they use that time to think about the future and how to benefit from the process that they're going through, gathering all those documents, looking at their business, preparing kind of the historical piece, but then applying it forward, they tend to get a lot more out of the whole tax time than others do. And it really becomes a beneficial tool for them in running their business or individually. So
it does. And, you know, surprisingly, you'll find when you start asking those questions of your CPA, they do have personalities and they love to talk and they want to help.
Right.
You know, I think most all accountants have helping personalities and they want to do things that will help their clients. And so as you spark that conversation and you take note of those things, you'll be surprised at what new developments can come about in your business.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks, Todd, for coming in and joining us on our podcast today. I just remind our listeners, as you're going through it, please reach out to us if you have any questions. If we can help you in the process during this time period or into the rest of the year, we'd love to interact with our clients and love to help them with their business.
Excellent. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you for listening to Harris CPAs Accounting for Tomorrow. Stay tuned for new episodes each month. Podcasts are also available on our website at harriscpas.com/podcasts. Any accounting, business, or tax advice contained in this podcast is not intended as a thorough, in-depth analysis of specific issues, nor a substitute for a formal opinion, nor is it sufficient to avoid tax-related penalties. If you'd like, Harris CPAs would be pleased to perform the research and provide you with a detailed analysis of your specific situation.